Hi, thank you for taking the time.
Hi, thank you for inviting me over.
Okay. I think first, what I want to start off with is, why did you color your hair blue?
So, personally, I'm a very, I like trying and experimenting new things, and especially with my looks, being an artist, it is more, I find it interesting to try out new looks and just keep on experimenting. So I love coloring my hair, and which is why I just wanted to try something that is new for me and my personality.
You know who you remind me of, actually? There's this content. Is that my phone?
I think so.
I'm so sorry. Let me just. So you, there's this content creator called, I don't know if you've heard of Sacha.
No.
So even she has like this obsession of, I don't know, I wouldn't say obsession, but even she, I think, plays around with the, I think she, at one point she had shaved her head as well. So
that is something I won't probably do.
You will never shave your head. So she had done it, and then after that she had colored her hair as well. Have you always been into hair coloring, or what's the scene?
Always.
Always. When did you first color your hair?
So first I tried out red, but before it was just on the edges, just to
little bit,
just to see how it looks.
And was it at the whole hair or only at the portions of it, like only
portions
this
of
portions,
it.
Portions
of
you,
it.
You were,
not the entire hair, because I was a little. I mean, when if it's your first time, you're always a little choosy, picky, finicky. All of these kind of different.
I mean, because it was your first time, were you scared as well? You just wanted to experiment a little
bit. Yeah, experiment a little bit, and always. So when I had gone right before this, I had done ash highlights.
Okay.
So at that point also, I was wondering.
What is ash highlight? I'm so sorry. What is ash highlight?
Ash is basically kind of gray. Gray streaks.
Okay.
Ash.
I have no idea, bro. Let's move on.
Latest trends, basically. So ash is has been the latest trend lately. Just few months back, it was a trend. It still is.
I've seen a few African Americans wear those beads. That's not what you're talking about.
No.
That's different.
Ash is something completely different. It's a color, hair color. So
okay.
If I'll show you, we can do that, right?
Definitely, bro. We can do whatever we want.
Something like this.
So that is artificial, you're saying, is it? Or that's a color?
That's a color.
That's a color, is it?
Yeah.
That is beautiful, though.
Yeah. So ash was something I tried. And that time when I tried ash, I was kind of worried of how it would look. Because knowing India, I mean, it's very... The things that have already happened out there, they are still happening out here. So, I mean...
What do you mean? Can you give me an example?
Basically, an example is a lot of the Indian mentality would be baal gray ho gaye hai. It's not for style. Ye to gray ho gaye hai. So, a lot of times. A lot of times you get such kind of compliments, which are not actually compliments, but yeah.
Okay. So, but when was the first time? Was it in your school, in your teens?
Yeah,
or was it very late?
No,
I don't
not
think
not
in school.
Very.
I don't think they allow.
No,
allow,
no, not school.
No, I don't think they do.
College.
Do
so when I was
now?
In my junior college, no.
Even now, even with all the social media, that shit is not allowed.
Yeah, it isn't allowed.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it isn't allowed. But yeah.
Okay. One more thing was today. I think is 28 now. 27, 28. Are you planning anything for Halloween?
Yes, I am. I have, so basically it's my family's tradition. We always celebrate Halloween, Christmas and all of these occasions. So we get the entire house decorated in a way where, I mean, for Halloween, we just try to keep it spooky as it can be. And we dress up into all of the different Halloween costumes. So each year we decide what are we going to become, all of my entire family.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's how what we keep on doing for Halloween. So yeah, plans.
But,
I have to have plans.
I mean, but you're the first person I think I know who celebrates Halloween. I mean, till now I think I've only seen I don't know, I watched Modern Family and all that, or Western.
Yeah, I also watched
Claire.
Family.
I mean, yeah, Claire's obsession with Halloween is the only thing that is
true. Yesterday only I was seeing an episode of
Modern Family
in which she had a neighbor come And that neighbor of them, like, they were kind of competing against each other,
uh-huh.
that who's going to be the scariest Halloween house. So,
okay.
I don't know if you've seen that
Are those neighbors who are into, like, all those drugs and all?
Yes.
That's the one.
Yes,
huh?
Yes.
I don't remember the exact episode, but I know the neighbors.
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Good. Nice memory.
But when did you... Thank you. But when did you, like... was your family celebrating all this during your childhood as well? Or?
Yes, all of the years since we've been, like, celebrating since my... in fact, Halloween was the first time I colored my hair red. So, yeah.
But, why is that? I mean, why... Have you ever... Because I don't think a lot of people from your friend circle celebrate that, no?
No, in fact, it's because of me, my friend circles have also started celebrating with me.
Really?
Not separately. So no, there are not a lot of families that of course celebrate Halloween or Christmas or Thanksgiving in the way how it's traditionally supposed to happen. But my mom, she's a writer herself. So she, like, and she's been in the US for some time, and she's traveled at that time in her teen years. So that is how she adapted the culture of Americans. So that's what we are also doing currently.
Are you going to reveal what you're going to be this year? Or is that like a top secret thing?
Not exactly a top secret thing, because I've not actually decided. I just go with the flow. I'm probably just going to have some kind of spooky eye thing. Spooky.
How are you going to go with this flow for Hall? I mean, doesn't it require like a lot of like costume preparation and all that?
I don't know that. I just go in with whatever I have at home, and I just make sure, because ultimately for us it's like, okay, we just have to like go in scary. So if you have to go in scary, why do you need to, you know? Because my mom is like, no being sexy, be scary. So she has that kind of a like clear thing.
Who are you more close to, your dad, your mom and dad?
Of course my mom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because of?
So, I mean, not because of. My dad is usually out for work. So, I've been more close to my mom ever since I was a child. So,
where are you from? And where were you born?
Bombay.
Bombay, is it?
Yeah.
How is, like, do you have any memories of your childhood, like, which you kind of still think about?
A lot. In fact, when I used to go for my family trips to either Ooty or like to different places, and they were usually road trips, so I just personally love road trips, and I keep on remembering those times when we used to have those CDs, the remixes, when we used to, like, you know, put it in the like car. I mean, I don't know what are those called, but yeah, when we had that system, when there was a system in which we used to insert the CD and then the music would play and something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those things, the remixes in which I used to hear KK songs and a lot of those Imran Hashmi songs, and I mean all of those things on a road trip, listening to Britney, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, those kind of like 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So completely a 90s kid.
Would you how were you as a kid though, like what kind of a girl were you, like, I mean?
So
I'm so sorry. I mean, I would like that perspective of how do you think your friends would tell you what kind of a person you are, rather than maybe you. I think people have their a little bit of what is that tinted way of how they actually are.
So I think of my friend's perspective of me, you're asking, right?
Yeah.
Okay. My friend's perspective of me is like I had a change in these few years, because earlier, and that is, I'm not sure if it's my friend's perspective, but I think at one point I used to be quite independent. Like, I was very much happy within myself, rather than, you know, and if I had to spend time with myself, I was kind of more mature when I was a child. After and now when I've grown up.
Can you define child? Like, I mean, in the sense, like, what age are we talking about? When you're 14 or when you're 8 or when you're 17?
Basically 8 or something. When 15 years, when I crossed 15 years, after that point, I was kind of, you know, more friendship oriented. Like, I wanted to be around friends. I wanted to be around friends.
After 15, you're saying?
Yeah, before that before that, if I had friends or didn't have friends, it didn't really matter to me. At that point.
But I also feel like, I think after 15, or after 14, 15, at that age, I think everybody does feel that way, you know? I mean, you want to spend less time with your parents and more time with your... And I think those are difficult years for parents as well. Your teenage, your children generally do start rebelling. Till yesterday they were yes mom, yes dad, fuck you mom. I mean, fuck you is too strong, but
yeah.
I mean, maybe not, or, you know, go do it yourself.
Correct.
So,
yeah, I mean, it has been that way. But otherwise, I just personally have... I've always had a balance in my life. Like, balance of... Currently, I'm not able to have that balance because I'm very much focused on my career and, you know, doing something in my career, proving myself. And I mostly have to prove myself only in my career. My family is already like, you're doing nice only. I'm like, no, I need to do more. So that is my own personal thing. But otherwise, I'm just pretty much sorted when it comes to... Currently, I like... I mean, being around friends is more... of a nice time. I have a nice time when I'm with around friends. But when I'm with family, I do feel like there's some sort of an obligation. But also, it feels good when I don't have anything else on my mind. That is the time when I actually spending time with my family.
But why do you think that is, in the sense where you mentioned my family thinks it's enough, but you are like, you know, I have to do more.
Because I am not, I have big dreams. So in order for me to achieve those big dreams, I cannot just sit back and relax. I need to keep working. I need to do things in order to make things happen. I don't wait around for opportunities. I create opportunities. So those are the things that I personally love doing. And it's not because I am doing it for... I'm doing it for me. I'm not doing it for anyone else around me. So I'm a high achiever.
Do you think that's really possible, though? I mean... I think a lot of people say that. I mean, wouldn't you say so? Like, a lot of things, they do them for themselves. How much truth do you think that truly is...
If I was doing it for anyone else than myself, then I would have probably given more heed to the times when my mom or my sister asked me that, oh, you should give family time. But I know that I'm doing this for myself and I'm doing this for... I'm doing this for myself and for my benefit. In a way that I can benefit them also at a later stage.
Did you have, like, what were the things that you were interested by, like, while you were growing up? Like, I mean, was it always, was it always music, or was it, were there other avenues that you wanted to explore? And
I mean, earlier I started off as wanting to be an actor. When I started off with acting, that was my debut movie, Mardani, with Yash Raj and Rani Mukherjee.
Really?
Yeah. So
when was this?
This was when I was in my junior college.
11th and 12th, huh?
Yeah, 11th and
12th. Oh my god, really? How did you get that? I mean, how did you...
Auditioning.
Oh, okay.
So, we usually give auditions and... Yeah, my dad used to take me for auditions. I personally never liked giving auditions. I still don't. But yeah, I had to do that. I mean, I was doing that for myself only again. Not for anyone pressurizing me. I've never been pressured into doing anything. I've always been like my own person.
Okay.
I've had a mind of my own. I knew what I wanted to do, what I didn't want to do. And I've just been supported all along that, okay, if you choose to do this, go ahead. If you don't choose to do this, okay.
And like, how many auditions would you... When did you start giving auditions? Was it only 11th and 12th, or was it like before, even before?
Before also, but I never...
For child roles, huh?
Yeah, but I never used to like giving auditions and I never used to find it at all. Like, I've been the kind of a person who didn't want to go for auditions, but yeah, personally I would love to just get the role and then do whatever magic I have to create on set directly instead of giving auditions, because auditions are kind of like a scam only, I feel. It's not exactly something that people look forward to doing, because they also know that there are fixed people in the casting guys or, you know, the production's mind of who exactly they want to cast. So it's kind of like when you take auditions, it depends completely on the luck and completely on other factors.
But I mean, what's the alternative? If you don't take, I mean, if you don't take auditions, then I mean, the people, whoever's in charge, I mean, they'll have to, I mean, they'll get to do, you know, a lot of nepotism there. I mean, they'll get to choose whoever they are. And
they as it is do.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, there is not, I'm sure there's some level of meritocracy, you know, you're saying there's not.
I mean, I'm not sure about that, but
okay.
The point is, and I don't even want to speak on that because
okay.
I'm not really much of a person who will be like, okay, nepotism is wrong or whatever.
Okay.
I'm like, yeah, it exists, it's fine. What can I do about it?
Okay.
So I'm pretty much,
I'm trying to think of a shitty actor who is from a film family. My knowledge in Bollywood is not so great, so I'm not able to think of anyone.
It doesn't matter, honestly.
Anyways, while you were in high school, also you used to do auditions, is it? Like,
yeah, I mean, I used to, when I was in junior college, that is the time when I used to forget, when I was in high school, I used to do plays.
Okay.
So, I would prefer doing plays, and at that time also, I used to sing a lot. So, at that time when I used to sing a lot, I was like on and on and on in the classroom when there was no teacher. I used to be on like a jukebox.
Mm-hmm.
People would tell me, you can, you know, sing this song. And I would always go and sing that song for them without giving it much thought. Then I used to also do, like, I was from a convent school. So when I was in the convent school, there always be hymns that I'd always wanted to sing those hymns. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, that was only...
for Catholics, huh?
Yes, for
Catholics.
Oh, fuck, okay. So I was like, alright, okay, whatever. So anyway, then I used to grab every opportunity I'd get over there also. There was this one play in which I had to sing with another group of people. That Michael Jackson's Earth song. So that time I had to start off the song. So that time I was like very much... I mean, I knew that... So I had always idolized Britney Spears, J-Lo. I didn't always have one thought in my head if I wanted to be an actor or a singer, but I knew I wanted to be an entertainer in the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I followed. That's how I'm here. So, like...
When did you stop auditioning though for...
Right after Mardani. Because when after Mardani, I was... I just entered a studio once, like, I wanted to do a cover.
You mean during Mardani, is
it? Mardani was done.
Okay.
And people used to tell me, okay, you know, you got one movie, now you can audition for more and go. I was like, I don't want to go through that effort only. Because for me, acting was something good, nice. But it wasn't something that I was feeling is my calling. So that is what I went for, the other option, that was my music. When I recorded my first song.
I'm so sorry, but I just want to interrupt. You don't find that weird at all, huh? Like, I mean, so here is someone who kind of wanted to get into acting, who got a role, and then suddenly decides to give it all up.
I didn't exactly give it up, but I didn't want to go through that effort.
You didn't want to continue. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
you don't find it weird at all, huh?
I don't find it weird at all because the heart wants what it wants. So
okay.
So I just personally wanted to be known as a singer. I mean, it's something that you think from within you. When you want to pursue something, you have to understand if you're willing to go through those efforts in order to pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
When you figure out what all are the challenges that you can cross in order to, you know, achieve what you want to achieve, that is the thing that you really want. I didn't see that in acting. Like, I didn't want to go through the efforts of giving several auditions and then landing one role. Because even I wouldn't know that one role was worth giving all of those auditions, the time, effort, money, all of it into that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, traveling and all would take a lot of it, the energy from within you. And personally, when I started doing singing, when I stepped into the recording booth to record my song Let It Go, that, I mean, it was a cover, of course, but yeah, I've been a Disney fan ever since. I'm still a Disney fan. So when I recorded that song Let It Go, I realized this is what I want to do, because that is something I couldn't get out of my head. And when I recorded, shot the entire music video of Let It Go and, you know, put it up on my YouTube channel, I just realized that there were some copyright claims because I had just done it on an instrumental.
Right.
I didn't have any knowledge or experience of how exactly is it supposed to be like. So yeah, that's how my journey of Let It Go started.
But even before that, I mean, were you like very, I mean, did you become like very popular because of that Mardan ki role? Like,
no,
nothing like that.
It was a supporting role. It wasn't a main lead role.
Okay.
So I was just prominent in visuals. So it wasn't really...
There's nothing like, I mean, your classmates would come, wow, nothing like that, huh?
I had my bunch of friends who would look at it and be like, oh, wow, Rukhsar, you're on screen. I'm like, yeah, but that is not the role I would want if I am on screen. Of course, I was proud of myself. I'm still proud of myself that, okay, I did something like this.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when I'd gone for the audition for Mardani, I was like, yeah, whatever, man. Because I was like, audition, whatever. I'm just doing it for the sake of doing it.
What year was this? Like, what year was did Mardani?
I'm not sure, I forgot. So I'm not good with numbers. Any kind of numbers.
Late 2000s or early 20?
Mardani 1, I think it was 2014.
Maybe. 14, huh? Oh, okay.
Maybe. Yep,
2014. 2014, okay.
So 2014 was that, and I love the experience. The experience was amazing. And being on set, having, you know, being that vanity van, having people do your makeup, and then there are dress designers coming and saying, you can choose this dress. It was like, it was nice. So it was a one hell of an experience. So.
Being treated very like royalty and all that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure everybody thought so, not
yeah.
only me. But it's just the new, novelty. Like when, you know, there's things that are so new in your life,
mm-hmm.
you're of course excited. So at that point I was, and I still am whenever there are things happening
that's
like
a,
that.
Like, would you reconsider? I mean, you see, is that like a full stop where, you know, you never want to go back again or?
No, I would want to, but I would want to be chosen for it, not to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a lot of people...
Like Deepika, I think Deepika just got called, no? I don't know.
I'm not sure. I don't actually, like, look into... The only music, again, is something that I, you know, look into. I'm not really much into, like, what an actor went through in their life. But
mm-hmm.
I would definitely see what a singer went through in their life. So if I have to watch biopics also, I watch biopics of the Queen band, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Mm-hmm.
I watch biopics of different artists who are singers, who are musicians.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where I realized, I mean, since I recorded that Disney song, Let It Go and everything, that music is what I want to do. Music is what I want to get myself acquainted and known for.
Mm-hmm.
So that is how I decided that.
What was your introduction to music though? I mean, was it like Hindi or English? Which one was it?
It was both, simultaneously.
Simultaneously.
I used to sing Hindi and English. Now I've exceeded my limitations of language. I mean, I sing Telugu, Tamil, Spanish, Marathi, Gujarati, and Punjabi.
I think
all
after
of
like,
the other languages.
I mean, after Jio and after like YouTube being very popular, I mean, like all these regional languages are also like the amount of people who listen to this stuff is huge, right? And sometimes I think it even competes to like Hindi audiences as well. Especially Spanish songs are so popular, man. Some of them are even more popular than like your Justin Bieber, like you'll have streams of Spanish songs which are more than Justin Bieber songs.
True. So in that case, I mean, whenever we think about that way, I feel even Tamil and Telugu songs are more, I mean, they have an audience.
They have a huge audience.
Exactly.
A
huge audience.
Fucking audience. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Hindi has a mass audience.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine, I always like give examples like that. One is hashtag Reel It Feel It, which has over billions of,
yeah,
you know, videos on them. And one is hashtag something normal, like Be It Anything, which has almost 100k posts or something on it.
Mm-hmm.
Which one would have an have a huge audience if you end up using that hashtag?
I'm guessing, so this is my theory, I'm guessing the Reel It Feel It is saturated and maybe the second one would be...
True,
that
is exactly,
yes. All
right. That is exactly logically right, because when you end up using hashtags that are, forget hashtags, when you end up doing things that are too saturated, it loses its credibility to some extent, because you have, and I'll tell you why you lose that, because there are people who are willing to compete at a higher level than you are.
What do you mean?
For example, any label would have more of a budget to put on promotions on a Hindi song compared to what you would put on a Hindi song.
Sure.
As an independent artist.
Definitely.
So that is how they have the leverage, because they have the contacts, they have the money, and they have a lot of that compared to an independent artist would have.
That is true.
So that is how Hindi is Hindi and English both come into that mass audience that is oversaturated. But on the other hand, the regional languages...
I mean, but it's also... I mean, that is true. But also, it's partly because a lot of people do speak more Hindi than people... I mean, Tamil and Telugu, it's very regional. Hindi and even English and Spanish, I mean, these are largely spoken and, you know, understood languages.
Yeah, of course. Tamil and Telugu are not...
No,
exactly.
Not so... They don't have...
Yeah,
I mean,
but they have an audience.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, a lot of regional... So earlier, I didn't... feel like, you know, regional is something, because I was not aware of the aware of anything that was happening in the regional market. But when I went into the regional market, when I collaborated with people from the Tamil Telugu market for anything, so that opened my eyes to newer possibilities. And it's just, being an artist, I just want to grab every possibility or every opportunity I get, especially a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be able to, you know, be in that zone to understand how exactly what is good and what is bad.
No, I mean, even I, on the underestimation of regional this thing, even I severely underestimated like how much of an audience like these regional things, not only on music but also anything. Like, I mean, you pick up food, right? Food content or news or comedy, along with Hindi, these regional players also, they have like almost like you know, television audience type. Like, I mean, you know, the numbers are in the millions, man. So it's really
when
huge.
I was searching for people who have done Hindi songs, but also who have done who are Telugu Tamil artists,
mm-hmm,
who have done Telugu Tamil songs. Their listeners are in the millions, and a Hindi artist, like a normal Hindi artist, an average artist, would have lakh listeners,
two, three lakh listeners, basically.
So, of course, in that also there's, because currently in this market, it's all about numbers, it's all number games. So in that number games, we need to figure out how should we stand out. And it's not easy for an artist to figure out how exactly are we supposed to stand out from the common crowd.
I think there's a song called, have you heard Rowdy Baby? That also, I think that became so huge, man, for a Tamil song. I think north of 1.5 billion
yes,
on YouTube. It is really something. I mean, yeah. after Kolaviridi, I think this was like one Tamil song which came and became so popular.
Yeah. And I'm so like privileged that I get to work with Yuvan sir.
Oh really?
Yeah.
So he's the, I have no idea who, I mean,
he's the music director of Lovely Baby.
Oh fuck, really?
Yes.
Oh my god. Okay. That's very, I mean, alright. When did you start doing that Disney song that you mentioned? Like what made you like do the cover, and I think you said you posted a video as well, no?
Yeah, but that due to the copyright restrictions had been taken down on YouTube at that time only. So it was like restricted or something in particular regions because of me using the official instrumental of the song.
Oh, but I thought if you use it, they let it play, but you will not get money for it. That didn't happen.
That
to you,
was earlier, like when YouTube had just started. So the rules were quite strict at that point. And that time there was no monetization, as far as I know. But
which year are we talking about?
It was, I told you I'm bad with yours. Eight years ago, apparently.
Oh, okay. So that is 2013, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2013. Yeah, their monetization should be on. I mean, I think they started monetization in 2010, if I'm not wrong.
I'm not sure about that, but as I said, things happen in America and then they follow here very late. So
how, like, how did you proceed after that? Once you realized, you know, the covers that you were doing.
So it was just one cover that I had done till then, and I had like, you know, asked my own friends from college only to help me out with the video and everything, and besides it wasn't up to the mark as well according to how like the music that I currently produce.
Mm-hmm.
And the music that, I mean, of course there's been growth, a lot of growth and a lot of upgradation of the quality since then. So I just personally feel that whatever happens is for the best, and at that point if it did got taken down, I was still determined enough though that no, I still want it. So I just put it on Vevo. Vevo was
another.
So I just put it over there, and I didn't look back after that.
But what made you upload though? Because I think in 2013, today every kid has a smartphone and, you know, everyone's uploading. But I think back then, what did you see someone from the West? I mean, did you see somebody's video, and did that inspire you? Or?
No, I was just busy singing along to this song, Let It Go. So
and
when
then
I,
you just decided, let's
yeah, I want
this
to
song.
Cover it. I before that, when I started off my YouTube channel, it was like I had put up a raw vocals only of Ang Lagade song from
okay.
Ram Leela.
Okay.
At that time also, I was like, I was doing it in order for some competition or something in my junior college. So for that, I had put up the song Ang Lagade. Like it wasn't intentional, okay, I want to put a cover of Ang Lagade song, but I really loved the song at that point, and I was like, okay, I can just, you know, use this song, put up a raw vocal cover, and in fact at that point it had done
decently
considerably
well,
huh? Well, not too great, but yeah, considerably well.
Did you see any first mover advantage? I mean, 2013, you were very early, man. I mean, what is that, a lot. I mean, Justin, I mean, Bieber was, I think, 08, and even Dua Lipa started, I don't know, 2013 only, I think. Even Dua Lipa started 2012, 2013, but she didn't find any success on YouTube. So you were like very, very early, man.
If I had kept my consistency on, I would have definitely been successful on YouTube. But because of my lack of consistency, it wasn't that, it didn't blow up. I didn't blow up on YouTube.
What made you stop, though? The copyright issue, is it, like?
Yeah, I mean, that kind of crushed my spirit, and I was like, okay, you know what, I'll just, let me figure it out. And then I was just figuring things out, and time went, so.
What do you mean you were figuring it out? Like,
I mean, I was just figuring out what am I supposed to do next, and how am I supposed to go ahead with it. And I just used to, like, I was kind of divided between acting, singing, dancing, and I was wanting to
even
do
dance,
it all.
Even dancing was in the
yes.
picture, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
In fact, I had even won a competition in my junior college for dance. I had come third or something.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was there. But other than that, I was still figuring out. I was doing plays, that is like even continuing acting, in a play. Like I had done this play called The EQ. It was on Einstein. It was Einstein something. It was story based on Einstein. And along with that, yeah, I was doing singing as well as dancing.
What did you study for undergraduation?
A BMM.
Is that like business management?
No, that is Bachelor's of Mass Media.
Bachelor's of Mass Media, okay. What made you select that?
My sister had selected that, and besides the other things, other courses that were on, like was BA and all of those things, it wasn't my cup of tea. BMM was more of creative field. I was like, yeah, cool, I'll go with BMM.
Where did you study?
That was RD National College.
In Bombay, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, how was your experience like studying BMM?
So, college is never about studies, is it?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So, my personal experience of BMM wasn't that great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to learn much out of it because it was pretty much, I don't know, it was just not exactly up to the mark how I would expect it to be, because my junior college was much more better and much more happening than my 3 years in BMM in RD National College.
What did you expect?
I was expecting things to be at least a little better than my junior college.
No, I mean,
junior
what
college
disappointed
was
you? Like, I mean, what specific?
The people.
You fell out?
The students disappointed me. The faculty disappointed me. A lot of the activities that were happening at that point disappointed me. I mean, yeah, all of those disappointments were there. But if that wouldn't have happened, I wouldn't have, you know, been very serious about my music. So that was supposed to happen so that I could have been more serious about my music, taken my music more seriously. Like in RD National College, I wasn't taken seriously by anyone.
Mm-hmm.
That made me want to prove them more wrong. So whenever I used to get competitive, I used to go one step more closer to my music. Because that way I would have been like, you know, in two places. But I knew that somehow I just always have to focus on... I mean, RD National was a little bit of a toxic environment for me,
really?
Personally.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's why I was... And I am a kind of a person, if I find somewhere something being toxic and something being, you know, freeing, I would prefer to... go there.
I think every person would prefer. I don't think there's anyone who would.
No, there are some people who would
really
end up. Okay, how exactly do girls always prefer to stay in toxic relationships?
I have no idea. If I knew, then I really have no idea.
Yeah, but there are girls who do prefer to stay in toxic
relationships. That is true. I agree with that. True.
Yeah. So that's why I said it depends on person to person.
Mm-hmm.
Some people prefer the toxicity, some people do not prefer the toxicity, and they move out. I mean, it all depends on what you want, actually. If you want to, you know, stay in the toxic environment and thrive, like, you know, kind of challenge yourself
to
thrive over there.
I mean, I'm thinking of multiple different things here when you said that. In the sense, so one, on the romantic side, like, you know, you mentioned the people, you know, girls or guys who stay in toxic relationship. So for that, my thought was like, you know, maybe... the fear of being alone is more dangerous than, you know, or more scary than you know, leaving the relationship. So that's one. But also, you mentioned growth there. And I don't know if you watched this movie called Whiplash.
Yeah.
I think any, I don't know, at least I would describe the relationship between the bald guy, I have no idea what his name is, the bald guy and the young student, I have no idea his name as well. That relationship was pretty toxic. I mean,
yeah, it was.
But he, that guy really did see a lot of growth, though. I mean, even though, you know, he had to go through a lot of shit and abuse as well. But I think there's a choice to be made whether you want to go through that and, you know, at the other end of the road, you become this person who's like such a good, in his case, a drum player, or do you want to take it easy and, you know.
It depends on person to person, because personally, I have never been motivated by negative reinforcement. I've always been motivated by positive reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever there's a positive reinforcing act happening on me, I'm like, yay, great, okay, I can do more well. But if someone will go like, you know, crush my spirits and say that, okay, yeah, this is something you can do, and plus be diplomatic about it and, you know, kind of play mind games, or even if it's not their own intentional mind games, but I take it as a mind game, and it just makes me want to use my brain more, which I do not want to use in that particular circumstance. I would rather use my brain in something that is more productive for me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
I mean that's a broad thing. I mean, in the sense of there are so many people who have been very successful, but I think through manipulation, and you know, through a lot of non-standard practices. I mean, Jobs is Steve is like clear example, but also I think Elon also, I think a lot of people have mentioned, you know, can be kind of manipulative. In the music world, I can't think of anyone, but at least in the business world, there are a lot of people who have not really, you know, not gone the standard way, but ended up doing a lot of significant things.
Music is a business also. Like, there's music has become a business also. It's
mm-hmm.
not exactly that. I mean, there are corporates over here also in music. There are people over here also that, you know, want to do business rather than only focus on the art. There are hardly people left who just focus on the art.
I think I know Kanye. You're familiar with Kanye West, right?
Yeah.
I think I know he can be difficult. I mean, I don't know if he's manipulative, but he can be very difficult to work with. I mean, on the positive reinforcement and positive negative, like, I've heard that very difficult to work with. Like, it's not the smooth, even with all the money and everything, it's not a smooth sailing. At least that's what I've read, yeah.
Again, depends on person to
person.
Person
to person, yeah. And I think it's with that madness itself, you know, you get kind of the stuff that you end up getting, you know. So, yeah.
Apparently, artists are usually difficult to work with, but depends on the artist also.
Do you have some madness like in you as well?
Me, no.
Which a lot of people have told you?
No.
Nothing, huh?
I'm.
Are you feeling bad that you don't have anything? Like, is that
maybe?
Is that something unfortunate?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Because probably if I would be a little more difficult to work with, it would have created news till now.
right, yeah.
Because I'm not difficult to work with, maybe that's why I've not made it to the news yet, so.
Sure, I think there's something to that. I mean, you know, people do like a lot of negativity and, you know, people who are more difficult.
I think in the current scenario, people are more attracted towards negative things
mm-hmm.
rather than positive things. Like, it's been this way since, I think, Corona. Maybe even before that.
I think
but
even
it was
before
not,
that.
Not noticeable as much as after Corona, it was more noticeable.
Mm-hmm. It sells really well. I think negativity sells much more than somebody who's saying, you know, let's make the world a better place, or, you
yeah.
know, let's all live in peace. You know, if you say fuck the world, I think that gets more likes and,
mm-hmm.
So, generally, I mean, after people do UG, you know, they end up taking a job, or, you know, you have to join the work first. Did you get clarity as to, you know, you mentioned singing,
yeah,
dancing, music?
Yeah, of course, I did a few jobs before I got into music fully,
but,
professionally.
But how did you eliminate the acting and the dancing? Like, what made you slash those paths?
I didn't really eliminate them at all. I had kept them on the side, and I had told the people, whoever I was working for, that this is something I want to do on the side. So you cannot stop me for it. And I will definitely prioritize that also, along with the work. I'll finish the work and I'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I earlier started like with my, it was a job called, I'm not sure, but it was in
really?
A travel company.
Oh my God.
It was
okay.
A travel company, and my sister's friend had only given me the job. So it wasn't exactly like a job, but it was like, yeah, I had my own space at home and I used to do it work from home only. It was not like I had to go to, I did have to go to events with the boss only. So yeah, that, it just lasted for a few months or so, and then I quit. And then I did PR. Just, and that also was, I did PR so that I could kind of earn something from it, but also make connections from there.
Like network and shit.
Yeah, networking with people, you know, whom I could utilize for my own musical journey. So that is the mindset I went with. So
mm-hmm.
I've always been like an optimist and an opportunist also. So yeah, both of them. And I just ended up doing something so that it would benefit my musical career in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I ended up doing a little bit. Whatever few connections I did make. I tried to use them, but if it wasn't, I mean, if it's not meant to happen, it's not meant to happen. So I don't really push it too much. But yeah, if it did happen, it's cool.
I'm getting a sense you seem to be like this person who, what is that? Whatever happens, happens to be a, happens for a reason type of person.
Yeah,
is
I mean,
that fair, is that a fair step?
Yeah, because ultimately it happens only if it needs to happen, and I don't have any control over it. So what am I supposed to, you know, focus on my growth, or other things not happening a certain way? So I would rather let that go and just focus on whatever is best for me, whatever I'm getting.
Mm.
Yeah.
Are you into, have you heard of stoicism? I mean,
what?
There's something called stoicism, which kind of aligns with what you just said. I used to read a little bit about that. When did you, so what made you, is it fair to say you've taken the plunge now completely into music, or?
Yeah. I'm completely and fully into music right now. I don't have anything on the side that I'm doing. In order to, like, of course I'm doing influencing, that is, it comes in the entertainment. I don't really consider it something different or something. Like, I've not jumped from being an entertainer to being a corporate worker. So I am my own boss, I do my own stuff. And
when did you decide to take the plunge?
Right after PR. I told my boss, who was Leon, was also a singer, and his first song was Hosanna. Yeah.
Okay, and then?
So he only told me, yeah, if you want to continue with singing. So he basically, from his first song of Hosanna, he shifted to doing music as a hobby,
mm-hmm.
and, like, you know, part time, and full time he used to do
PR.
He still does it. Me, on the other hand, he knew what I was all about. So he was open to, you know, me plunging into music completely. And he's like, that's what you want to do, go ahead. I even gave him an alternative. I mean, my alternative, as in, I made my friend join the job.
Oh, okay. Like a replacement.
Yeah.
Like understood. What are the first things that you did? Like, I mean, what does taking a plunge look like? I mean, did you, I don't know, rent a studio, or, like, how does it work? Like, what did you, what was your game plan? I mean, like, did you have, like, a few steps that you wanted to do?
And I did invest on making a home studio at my home. My mom helped me with that. My mom saved up some money, and we invested into making that home studio setup at my house. And my partner, Man, helped me, you know, set it all up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he helped me with the equipments that were necessary, and acoustics and all of my home studio setup was already done when my house went under renovation. So that time that happened, and otherwise all of the entire setup that I had to take in order to make that home studio setup, like the gadgets and the technical stuff, all that Man helped me with. And other than that, after that, it was, like, sorted. I mean,
so the plan was to,
but I mean, fortunately or unfortunately, I'm not sure, but I did that, and then I ended up doing most of my recordings at Man's studio only. So that was,
why is that?
Because I used to keep going. I mean, I would never stick at home. I used to always keep going out to, you know, find more things. And there were a lot of other things which I didn't think of before making that home studio setup. That, because I wanted to do production and everything. At least that's what I thought.
Is this the studio we're talking about? Like the
No. This is
the Man studio.
Just made. This is, of course, Man studio. Yeah.
This is the one you were coming and you mentioned.
Not
you
exactly this. He used to live earlier in Borivali, so
okay.
That was a studio which we used to work in earlier, and usually most of our work was together only. Like, we used to do all of our song works and everything we had together only in that particular studio. So that is how I used to keep going more to the Borivali studio rather than stay in my own studio. And besides, I didn't know anything about production or anything, and I did want Mun to teach me production, but I never showed the initiative to learn about production and everything, music production and stuff. I didn't even know an instrument. I still don't know an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was like, okay, then I'll just... I mean, I of course took the easier route then when I got the studio in which I have a person who's, you know, working, who has already been working on it and wanted me, my assistance. I kind of like was assisting Mun only in a way.
Mun has what is that? He's trained a musician, is it? Like, or has he just picked up?
No, I mean, Mun is a musician himself. He is not self-taught. He was an alumni of A.R. Himan's music conservatory in
Chennai.
Okay. Yeah. He was in the first batch.
Oh, okay.
And after which, when he spent, I think, 4 years in Chennai, then he came back he came to Mumbai. He's actually from Delhi. He came to Mumbai and ever since has been staying here only. And he had earlier, right after Chennai, he had a channel called The Crooners Project, in which...
YouTube channel.
Yeah, YouTube channel, with over 2 lakh subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
So that he had built with his partner, and that time only, so I used to collaborate with The Crooners Project for some projects and stuff. And as an actor also I used to collaborate, as a model also I used to collaborate. As a singer also, I used to collaborate. So, yeah, I used to...
Okay.
Yeah, basically do all of the things that I wanted to do. And then at that point, my own studio, I just used to use it for my recording stuff. Like, okay, if I want to record something, then I would do it over there. Or if I just want to, you know, shoot a video, then I would tell someone to come and shoot my stuff over there. That's how, like, I use that studio then.
Mm-hmm.
So,
how much time did it take you to build your home studio?
Not a lot of time. I mean, of course, with the renovation and everything going on, a few months.
Couple months now.
Yeah, a few months. I'm not sure how many months.
And the plan was to, like, was it, did you plan it for only to have you record dedicatedly, or was it like to maybe rent out the space as well and you would like play? What is that? Like
no, it was for me only. It was for me only. It wasn't exactly up for... I didn't make the studio for commercial purposes.
Mm-hmm.
It was for me only. But unfortunately, I didn't get to work much on that setup because I had the studio which belonged to Mun where I could do my work. So, it kind of got shifted. And now, I still do have my home studio set up. But... fortunately, the stuff from that studio, whenever I need it, I can just take it anytime and use it over here. So, like, when our keyboard got spoilt or something, that time I brought the keyboard from there and, like, now we're using that keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything that needs... I mean, if there are headphones that I need, I take it from that studio. So,
mm-hmm.
It's not exactly gone to waste or something. I've put those things to use.
Will you ever learn a musical instrument?
I don't want to.
You don't want to, why?
No. I mean, again, if it's not in my interest, I'm not going to do it. I mean, for me to actually be interested in something, it takes... I mean, it's just not in my interest. I can't explain why.
It doesn't excite
why.
You at all.
Yeah, I mean, playing the guitar... or playing the ukulele, or I was interested in learning the piano, but even that, when I started, I was like, no, bored.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But on the other hand, I did end up writing. So, I mean, it's not like I never thought I could ever write before. I just thought I was a vocalist. Then I realized I can write songs. And then I realized I can even compose. So when I started composing and writing and singing, so those additional aspects came in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that, now that I can sing in different languages, so that additional aspect also came in the picture. And along with that, I can sing, dance and act. So,
like a full package, huh?
Yeah. So I don't feel like I need to learn an instrument in order to, you know, get more better at something. When I have all of these aspects that are in my bag.
Mm-hmm. When you decide, I mean, to make your own, like, the single, I think you've launched multiple singles still now, no? how did that happen? Like, when did the first, was it immediately after doing the, having the studio at your place, or?
No.
Or even before that?
No, no. It wasn't even before that. I didn't know anything till Corona hit.
Okay.
So when Corona was going on, at that time only, we had nothing to do. So I just was writing songs. I mean, I didn't know I was writing songs, but I was just kind of in a negative space. And then I spoke to Man, and he told me that, you know, why don't you put this to good use? So I put it to good use, and I wrote all my feelings in a song. Like, I just randomly wrote something, and I was like, I hummed something on it, and then I called Man and told him, okay, this is what I've done. He's like, you did it? No, you didn't do it. You did it? No, you didn't do it. I did it. Go search for it. You can find it anywhere though. So I was like, I mean, he was also surprised that I actually listened to him and put my words into a song.
Why do you think you were surprised?
Because I never knew I could write. So when I started, I was like, surprised. Okay, I could do this. That's nice. Okay. So, I mean, when you don't know that you can do something and you suddenly do it, then of course you're surprised. That, and that too, good surprise, not exactly a surprise in which, so sorry.
Hey, no problem. You're writing in, if I understand correctly, you write mostly in Hindi, no? Or English.
English.
I'm so sorry. Okay, because I think I had heard Apni Jaga.
Yeah.
And I just
that was not my writing. That was Kunal Varma.
Okay, okay. And I think Thali Thali as well. And I just assumed you do most of your... you do most of your thinking in English, is it?
Yeah, I do most of my thinking in English. And then I put it down in words in whatever language needed, except I can only write in English and Hindi. And Punjabi, Man helps me with whenever needed. And even Hindi, Man helps me with whenever needed.
Yeah,
English, I do my own writing.
Even I feel like, I mean, I think a person can only have like one strong language where he's very articulate. Or I don't know, like two... Having two, you know, languages where you're poetic as well, I think it's hard. I don't know.
It depends.
Maybe some people can do it.
It depends on interest.
Mm.
It comes down to interest. Whenever, if you're interested in something, you'll do it. If it, you're not interested in something, you won't end up doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
How long were you, how fast were you putting out these singles? I mean, was it like, we have like a plan of, you know, I have to get X
so firstly... It wasn't fast at all, because when we ended up, when I ended up just like being, wanting to put out my first single, debut single, Apni Jaga, it wasn't with the thought process that I wanted, you know, I wanted it to be a big hit and everything. I just wanted to put it out there because I thought that, you know, enough of waiting around for labels to get back to me and them to invest on something I have created, and them to, you know, have full power over my song that I have built. I thought that, you know what, fuck it, I'll put it by myself. And that too, I got inspired by Bohemian Rhapsody when I had seen that movie, in which when he had taken his song Bohemian Rhapsody to the label, and the labels were like, what is this song? Because it was an experimental song. And they didn't take it that well, because they know the market. They know the market, and of course, from their point of view, they are right with whatever they are thinking, that they want something that is commercial, not something that is experimental. So even Apni Jaga was kind of commercial and experimental. It was in the middle. Nobody was able to figure out where could it go.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, if y'all can't figure it out, why am I waiting around for people to respond to me? I'll just put it out there and see where the song goes, how it goes, and everything. That's what I did with Apni Jaga. And after that, then I wrote my other English singles. I've written 3 English singles till now, in which only one has released. 2 are still unreleased. More are in the process. I mean, I will have to write that. Write the songs and make the songs. But yeah, for now it's just the 2 English singles and a lot of Hindi singles and everything coming up. And on the other hand, I've made like a clientele who I keep collaborating with. So yeah, that way.
Mm-hmm. Can we take a 5-minute break?
Yeah.
So, how difficult is it to make it as a Bollywood singer?
So, it's had its ups and downs, but it's not exactly about Bollywood. I mean, Bollywood seems to be a big thing, but it actually isn't if it's not a hit song.
Sorry, which actually isn't if it's not a hit song.
It's not exactly a big thing until and unless the song goes, like, it's a hit. And once it's a hit, the song should be hit because of you.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the struggle and the hustle is not for me to end up doing a Bollywood song. Bollywood song is helpful with me earning a credibility as a singer, but it's not helpful.
No, go on.
But it's not helpful for me as an artist to, you know, I mean
once
even,
you get that hit song, then
yes,
you get more, like,
yes, more
people
opportunities,
know you, and then you
more
keep
opportunities
getting more.
And more work gets loaded up,
mm-hmm,
because you have a brand value then by just one,
mm-hmm,
Bollywood song, which is not a hit, which,
mm-hmm,
is, which doesn't have at least 100 million streams or 100 million views. Till that doesn't happen, it's not exactly like
you've made it or something.
Yeah,
like that, yeah,
you've made it or something,
mm-hmm,
like that big of a thing to achieve. Because I mean, of course, when I didn't have a Bollywood song, it always felt like, you know, I wish I had a Bollywood song. I mean, it's always that way when you don't have it. But of course, when you do get it, you realize the worth, of course, and you're happy about it. But you know it's not exactly how you imagined it.
Right.
Because we all have different things in our head that, you know, we have perceptions of how things will be when this thing, particular thing happens.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's not like that, then it's like, oh, okay, cool, great.
I mean, I think there are, I mean, to that, there are so many people. I think Preetam, you're familiar with Preetam, right? I mean, Preetam uses so many singers on a one-to-one basis, but, you know, I think he'll use them once and then after that, they're never to be seen. I can't, there are so many names you'll get to.
That's what I said. Like, it's not about, and even if it's about a one hit Bollywood song,
mm-hmm,
after that hit being a hit, you need to maintain that. You need to, you know, because you've given you've created a benchmark for yourself. Now,
mm-hmm,
you can't go below that.
Two examples I can think of for that is, I think, I don't know if you're familiar with Zubeen, who did Ya Ali. Ya Ali, I think, was done by Zubeen. And after that, he didn't see a lot of success after that. I mean, I think Ya Ali is the only song that at least I know of where...
Zubeen Nautiyal.
No. He's the recent guy. But Ya Ali was a very old song. I think early 2000s or late 2000s.
Uh-huh.
It was very,
yeah,
very,
yeah,
popular. And I think
got
that
it
was sung by Zubeen. And after that, I don't think he made a lot of... second one is Kunal Ganjawala, who did Murder, Bige Hon Tere. That song also was a master. I mean, it was a huge hit. But after that, I think Kunal Ganjawala didn't do a lot of work.
Depends on... So, now, as I told you, it's not that about that song being a hit. It's the song being a hit
because of
whom.
Mm-hmm.
So, when people know or realize that this song is a hit, now if you say Murder 2, I don't think of Kunal Ganjawala. I think of Imran Hashmi.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you say even Ya Ali, of course I remember the voice, I remember the song, but I don't remember the singer's name because,
mm-hmm,
they had not publicized the singer's name.
I mean, I've spoken about this before as well, but I mean, that's the fuck up with the, like, the way I think Indian industry works, right? I think in the US, what you have is, you have independent artists releasing music,
exactly,
under their name, and, you know, they build their own niche or whatever.
Hmm.
But in India, you have it clubbed with the movie, and no matter how beautifully Arjit Singh sings, at the end of the day, Shah Rukh Khan who's taking the credit for that song.
Now Arijit Singh has a name for himself. I mean, he's built a name for himself because of the constant hits that he's given,
mm-hmm,
and those hits are because of his voice and because of him.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, that all comes down to luck. It's not in anyone's hands. It's all it all depends on the person's luck as to what, but it also depends on what you're exactly manifesting. If you're manifesting for just a Bollywood song, you'll get a Bollywood song. Okay, no worries. But you have to manifest precisely of what you need. So whenever I think of something, I say that I want that, but I want that to be because of me.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, if I take Taali Taali, I am not just wishing for Taali Taali to be a hit song. I'm wishing for Taali Taali to be a hit song, and the reels that people are making should be on my portion of the song.
Mm-hmm.
That would help me gain more of an audience, and you know, people and industry people would recognize, oh, what's this, who's this voice, iska chal raha hai, ye acha chal raha hai, to isko aur gaano ke liye bulao. That kind of a thing. It leads to that. So that is what you need to be very precise about, what you exactly ask for in life.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so there are obviously ups and downs in this industry, and you know,
I think there are ups and downs in every industry.
Sure. Sure. But how do you kind of deal with that? Like, I mean, do you have like a mechanism through which to you know, go through it, or?
So the mechanism that I go through it, there are different types of mechanisms.
So you just say fuck it and then move on, is it? Like,
no, I mean, sometimes there's cribbing, sometimes there is complaining, sometimes there is indifference. So it all is it's a mixture of all different emotions. I can't even say fuck it, because if I've put my heart and soul into singing something, or you know, doing something, I would definitely expect from it. It is human mentality, but conditioning your mind to not expect is the best thing you can do for yourself,
and probably the hardest as well.
Yes, very hard.
Yeah,
so that is why there are mixed, like, you have to constantly badger your head, like, okay, no worries, something better is to come, something good is going to happen, that is why this is not happening, one door closes, the other door opens up, all of those different things you keep on telling yourself, just so that you are validating your efforts yourself, because no one else is going to validate your efforts. You have to validate your efforts yourself. So yeah, that's what it ends up, like, we end up doing that only. Intentionally or unintentionally.
On Spotify, I noticed that you have a lot of on discography, you have a lot of singles placed, but no album as of yet. Is that by design, or like, you're not into about working on an album? Like,
I would love to work on an album, but only when I have that sort of a budget to, you know, introduce an album. Like, it doesn't make sense if I just release an album just for the sake of releasing it till I do not have a proper mindset of promoting it well. Like, we are not privileged enough. I'm not saying that the artists abroad are privileged enough, but they do have an edge. Staying over there, they do have an edge that we don't have. So they can stay ahead of the game.
What do you think it'll take? I mean, when will you be like, at what point will you say, now is the time? Like, I mean,
when I do have enough to invest myself.
What is that? Do you have a number in mind where you're like, if I hit this number, whatever it is, like, I mean, on the, I don't know what number you're thinking of, but
I have not thought of a number yet, but I know when the right time.
Intuitively, you have an idea.
Yeah, intuitively, I'll be like, okay,
this is the right time.
Because when we think of albums, all I can think about is how Britney Spears released her album, or how J-Lo released her album. So till I cannot, you know, do it to that level, it's no use releasing an album, according to my perspective. I mean, I can rather invest on plenty of singles than releasing one album.
Just on that, I mean, so I'm familiar with Britney's example, Britney's case. I don't know about J-Lo, but Britney was obviously signed by a label, and she did that with the help of label. I'm guessing, if I had to put my money, I think I would guess even JLO had label support as well.
Yeah.
So how important is it for you, like, is it like is it like all in, you have to get a label signed, or do you think, you know, the other way is also?
I mean, if the label is giving a good deal, definitely it's...
Do you think all labels like kind of fuck the artist over? Do you think that's the...
Not
because I think that's the mainstream knowledge. I mean, I think a lot
really.
Of people...
I don't really think that the labels fuck the artist. It's like the artist's thought process fuck the artist.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
So, kind of like when you are... again, it's a game of what you've given to the universe. If you keep on thinking... Of course, labels will always benefit themselves more than the artist. But that is what even an artist would do if they were in place of the label.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a big... I mean, I'm just talking fair here. I'm not being like, okay, an artist for artists kind of thing. I am just being fair here that if a label has invested something, any kind of amount, so they would definitely want the returns for it. They would expect returns, and if they're not getting the returns from it, then how exactly they've not started up a
charity.
Yeah, a charity for, you know, helping every artist in the world. They can't. They cannot afford that. They cannot do that. They have to do what's best for them. So that is how the artist has only one way to work on themselves, work on their art, and just believe in the higher power. Why do you have to try to control everything and put the blame on someone or something? One more thing I've learned over the years is like whenever you try to, you know, blame something onto someone or put something else's blame on someone else and you kind of, you know, bad mouth that other person a lot. For example, being an artist, bad mouthing a label. In that case, whenever you're bad mouthing a label, more better things will happen for the label. Have you ever realized that?
No, I actually haven't. Is it because of the...
No. It's just how the universe works. So that way, I think I've built up my spirituality. So to understand all of this, that whenever you say something bad about someone, more good things end up happening to that someone.
Isn't that fundamentally unfair though?
How is that fundamentally unfair? It is like you are bringing the wrath upon yourself only. You're
really?
Not, you're, I mean, imagine if you had to think more positive things about the other person, the universe would grant you or gift you with a present that you would, you know, appreciate, rather than you bad mouthing the other person, and the other person will get the gift that you were supposed to get just because you are too jealous or you are too insecure. How exactly does a person feel? Okay, how exactly does a person feel all of these emotions? Is because they are not self-satisfied. They are not content with themselves. They are insecure in themselves. They are expecting validation from either the label, either the artist, either something or the other. When you see the social media, all you see is you comparing yourself to different people, either body wise, either fame wise, either this one has this much views, this one has this much views, and I don't have that much views, what have I done wrong to, you know, not get this much of views. It doesn't matter. As long as you are content within yourself, it doesn't matter how much views you have, how much numbers you have, what exactly are you gaining from it, what exactly are you losing from it. It should be about you. When you started off, when any person started off, did they end up thinking like, okay, I want to do this because I want to beat this person? No, they started off because you loved that particular thing, because you were passionate about it. But when you end up doing it, you kind of lose that passion, you lose that ethnicity, because at that point you are wondering, oh, I have to compete with this one, oh, I have to compete with that one, instead of being true to yourself and being true to your art. So that's what I have learned over the years, because I'm not saying I was built in with this thought process. I've badgered this thought process into my head to not compare myself to others and to not compare their success to my success, because whatever I have, they don't have. Whatever they have, I don't have. So it's all like a part of the process, and you have to trust the process in that way. that you are not supposed to think on that particular aspect that, okay, you know, this is unfair, or labels are doing, you know, coming back to the same point, that labels are being unfair to you. If you were a label head, you have two artists, A and B. A is giving you more
sales.
Yeah, more sales. B is not able to give you more sales. Who would you choose?
Yeah.
It is just common mentality. It's not that the label is being biased or something. The label might be being biased for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Would you consider yourself like a religious person?
I don't consider myself a religious person. I consider myself a spiritual person. I don't personally like to name myself as religious. I would much rather be happy, you know, considering myself a spiritual person than a religious person. I've never been a religious person.
And like, what kind of, like, what is the foundation there? I mean, are there any books that kind of lay the foundation, or is it mostly experiences?
Experiences. No, I don't read books. My
okay.
mom is a writer, but I don't read books.
Okay. All right. I think finally, I want to ask you, what is your obsession with parrots? Like, I think is it fair to say you have an obsession with parrots, or?
Not an obsession with parrots per se. I have no obsession as such. It is just like the two parrots that I have, they are like my kids. They are not like, I mean, parrots to me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
when did you first get them? Like?
So one was Joey, the African grey parrot, who I had like when I was a child. Like, I mean, not exactly a child, but my father had gifted me the grey parrot.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mother had an obsession of she had an obsession for the cockatoo, the sulfur crested cockatoo, or basically the white cockatoo.
Okay, okay.
She used to see all these funny videos and she's like, I want one of these. So,
what's the lifespan of a parrot?
They have a good lifespan. Like, they are 60 years or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, 50 to 60 years, they both can.
So, the ones you have here, they've been living almost as...
They're not here right now. They're at my mom's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but otherwise, whenever they are over here, then, like, we usually take them... I mean, we usually just keep them out so that they can play around and bite stuff. Chew stuff, yeah.
Okay. On that note, Rukhsar, thank you so much for taking the time. It was nice having you. Thank you.
Same.